Hi, good morning. I always hate giving news like that. If you do know Karen, I've spoken to her briefly this week. She's doing as well as can be, but we do ask that you will respect their family's request for privacy at this time. But feel free to drop a note to her, text her, or whatever. Just don't expect that she'll get back to you. I'm sure that she would love to hear that somebody cares at this time. But it's Mother's Day, and I don't want to take away from the wonderful day that it is. And mothers have a primary job, and that is to be the sole and first caretaker of the child. And there's a lot of mothers here, and there's a lot of people who will be mothers, and unfortunately, there are those who aren't. And I don't want to over-glorify being a mother. I know that some people really want it, and some people really didn't. But it is an absolute blessing. And just because you don't have your own children doesn't mean that you're not a mother. I, myself, have several ladies that I call mom, who to this day I have knowledge of their house alarm code and where their hidden key is, that they just say, yeah, come on over anytime. And I go over. And the reason why is because they've adopted me and a bunch of our friends into their families and into their homes. And they always have our favorite snacks and drinks. And even to this day, I still get called once in a while and say, hey, when are you coming over? I don't live in Calgary anymore. It's not so easy. But mothers have an incredible job. And the one thing that I think is the most important, besides, you know, giving life and that kind of stuff, is teaching Scripture. Teaching Scripture. Teaching God's Word to the kids. And this is one of the themes that we are talking about Scripture. And I love that mothers have this job because it's one of the first memories that I have as a child. My mom sitting there singing Bible stories, teaching Bible stories to me, telling me Bible stories, reading from the Bible, and helping me to memorize Scripture. And I was terrible at memorization. I'll talk about memorization later. But our church right now, we are going through a four-week sermon series on the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. And last week, Pastor Jim explained to you a science called textual criticism. Textual criticism is the science. It's a science. It's a hard science, not a soft science. It's a hard science where archaeological artifacts of pieces of manuscript and text are collected together, compared, and verified for historical and textual accuracy. And what Pastor Jim taught us about the historical documents that we now call the Holy Scriptures or the Holy Bible is that compared to every other ancient writing in the world, the Bible has no comparison in terms of the amount of accuracy, in terms of the amounts of materials available to do the textual criticism. There is no other book that even comes close to how accurate and how vast the Bible is. If you missed it, we do have the sermon recorded. It is posted on our website. Just go over to our website, westwoodac.org. Click on sermons, look for Pastor Jim. It'll be there. If you want to have an easier, it's easier to listen. If you would rather just peruse something and read something, I do have a handy chart that explains how textual criticism happens, what the science exactly is, and you can read how it all works. Just ask me for it. It's on my desk right now. But today, we want to talk about living in God's Word. I don't want to talk so much about the science of how we got our Bible. Pastor Jim explained that very well last week. Today, we want to talk about the physical act of reading Scripture and how to become better at this. how to become more immersed in taking in God's word, and why. Right, next week, Pastor Jim will be talking about the inspiration of Scripture, and in following weeks, we'll be talking about how to properly interpret and apply Scripture. But today, specifically, I don't want to be talking about those things. I want to talk about the physical discipline of reading Scripture and how we can become better at it. At the end of the day, reading Scripture comes down to you and me sitting down with the book and opening it. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to give you some tips and strategies and that kind of stuff. But we can't compartmentalize. I want to remind you, you can't compartmentalize these 4 weeks of teaching on the Scripture. It is all part and parcel of the practice and the discipline of Holy Scripture reading in our lives. So if you missed last week, please, please, please do check it out on the website. Follow along today. And then in the next 2 weeks, come back as well, because Scripture is the primary avenue that God reveals himself to us. And that answers the first question. Why would I bother reading Scripture? It's an ancient book written to a different culture. But the reality is that Scripture is living and breathing. It is God's word that continues to inspire, continues to correct, to teach, and most importantly, continues to reveal God's characteristics, his heart, his morals, his ethics, reveals all of these to us. Beyond that, why would we read Scripture? Well, Jesus Christ said so. If anything else, that in my mind is enough reason to read Scripture. When Jesus was in the desert, Matthew chapter 4, he was being tempted by the devil, being tested by God. The devil says, hey, you're hungry. Take these stones, make some bread, eat. And Jesus replies, no, man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Jesus Christ himself shows us that the word of God is the providence that we're searching for. It is the source of all life. And now, Jesus isn't saying that you don't ever have to go grocery shopping ever again. But at this time in the situation, Jesus was trying to focus himself, preparing himself for ministry. And instead of partaking in food and worrying about preparation and that kind of stuff, remember back then, it's very difficult to prepare a meal. You got to start a fire. If you can't start a fire, you can't prepare a meal. Right? It's very involved. And instead of wasting all that time, Jesus was meditating and praying and fasting, preparing himself for ministry. And he said to the devil, no. We need to focus here. I'm focusing on the word of God, preparing myself, not just for the day, but for his ministry, his life. So in his example, following in his footsteps, we too must read Scripture. We too must rely on it for daily wisdom, for daily living. Because the word, implanting the word into our heart and into our mind, reveals God to us. To know him better will help us to love him better, to obey him better, to understand him better, why he wants us to live certain ways, to be more like him. The wonderful thing about the better you know somebody is that you begin to take on their characteristics. Is it ever a wonder that, you know, little best friends running around end up doing the same things and acting the same way and saying the same things and eventually even finishing each other's sentences? It's because they spend so much time together. Me and my best friend, when we were growing up, we might as well have been twins, except that he was really tall and strong. And I was a lot like my second son. Very svelte. Almost svelte. I was tiny. But we got to a place where we knew each other so well that we could have a conversation with a third party, taking turns speaking, and we would say the exact same thing. We got to a place where he shaved his head, I shaved my head, because I thought it was cool, and it was super velvety smooth. I loved it. But we got to the place, because we spent so much time together, that we even started sounding alike, the way that we talked and the way that we act. And people always wondered which one of us belonged to which mother, because we were so similar. It's like that. The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend being like Jesus, learning about him, the more you'll act like Jesus. And I think that's a good thing, because ultimately, at the end of the day, Paul tells us to follow his example of how to live. And whose example is he following? He's following Jesus. And I think that's one of those important things. Another reason why we should read it is because the exposure in immersing ourselves will also shape what comes out of you. Like I said, if you spend enough time with each other, you start sounding like each other. On the flip side, we always tell our kids, you got to be careful what you watch, you got to be careful what you listen to, you got to be careful, because garbage in, garbage out. You know this, right? The more that you listen to these awful, awful songs on the radio, and it gets stuck in your head, and you just can't help it. You don't want to, but then next time you're driving along, and suddenly you're singing along to these incredibly inappropriate songs, but it sounds so good. And it frustrates you, or it should frustrate you. Garbage in, garbage out. But also on the flip side is the same thing. Wholesome in, wholesome out. The more time that we immerse ourselves in Scripture, memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture, reading Scripture, we will have that in our hearts, and we will be able to overcome the desires or the needs or the earworms that we hear from society, all the bad things. We can bring Scripture back to mind or recall it quickly. Psalm chapter 1 tells us this. Sorry. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. That person, this is verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is an incredible promise. Blessed is the one who walks in the way of the Lord, who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. We need to remember that when we as Christians claim to be Christians, we have an obligation and duty to be like Jesus and to immerse ourselves in his word, because he is the word. As Pastor Jim said last week, he read for us from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And in verse 14 it says, and the word became flesh incarnate and came and made his dwelling among us. The word of God birthed Jesus Christ, every part God, because Jesus is the Word of God. And if we don't immerse ourselves in the Word, we are not immersing ourselves in Christ. But that's enough theology today. I want to talk to you about how. Pastor Joe, how? I am terrible at reading. I haven't picked up a book since I graduated high school. All right, no, you can't do that. I haven't picked up a book since I graduated university. Well, that's not good. You should read. So let's talk about reading strategies. Let's talk about building habits. Habits are hard to build. But in general, there is a theme with building habits that I think all of us can adopt. Whether this is talking about scripture reading, prayer, or working out, which I also think is a very important part of the stewardship of your body that God has given to you as a blessing, you should do that. But we're talking about scripture reading, and we're talking about 3 weeks before you can build a good habit. A good, solid foundation for a lifelong habit will take you 3 weeks to build. The first week is easy because it's super exciting, and you start reading new things, or you start practicing new things, and it's fantastic. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is like, yes, I got it. Well, day 1 usually is, oh, I forgot, I should do this. And then you catch up on day 2, and then day 2, 3, 4, 5, you're like, yes, this is awesome. Day 5, day 6 happens, day 7 happens, and you start to, ooh, right, I forgot to do this. If you can't get through week 1, you got to go back and start over. But if you do, week two becomes much, much easier. But towards the end of week two, again, it's that difficulty of keeping it up. Oh, where am I going to find time? That's week two is when you find that the rest of your life has caught up and you say, oh, you know what? I thought I could schedule this in this time of day, but it's not working. So I got to shift and I got to find somewhere else or some time else in order to do this. Week three is when you decide, okay, I want to keep this forever or else I'm not going to go, which is why in the gyms in January, by the third week of January, it's usually safe to go back. Everyone else has usually petered off by then. But if you can get through week three, chances are that you will keep this habit for the rest of your life. Because it'll become a part of your everyday. You found the routine and you found the worth of this exercise. And the wonderful thing about getting through and making this reading a habit is that it will shape you for the future. Back to exercise. Just like an Olympic athlete, you can't expect an Olympic athlete to only work out once a week and compete in such a manner that wins the race, that even gets a medal. You can't. Olympic athletes practice every day for hours at a time in order to make sure that their bodies and minds are in peak physical condition. My mind's running faster than my mouth. They have to practice every day in order to be what they want to be. And if we as Christians want to know Jesus, if we want to act like Jesus and speak like Jesus, if we want to be effective in the world like Jesus, we have to spend time in his word like Jesus. So strategy number one is your pre-reading. Even before you start reading, you need to set a plan. You need to decide, how regular am I going to do this? How long am I going to read for? Am I going to read for a certain number of pages? Am I going to read a certain number of chapters? Or am I going to read for a certain amount of time each day? Each and every one of us will have to decide where we're going to begin. Some of us are better at reading than others. Some of us can sit down and read lots and lots and lots. Some of us will struggle, but it's okay. We start with the basic building blocks. If you can only read for 5 minutes per sitting, start with 5 minutes per sitting. When you build that habit of reading 5 minutes, it'll be easier to add minutes. If you have certain set chapters that you want to read, then you can start reading certain chapters. And then you can build from there. But make it regular. Make a plan for your actual reading. Second is make a place a regular place. Somewhere comfortable, somewhere that's familiar to you. Some people will really love reading on the bus. Some people will really love reading in the coffee room at work. Some people will love reading in the park. Some of us really love reading in bed. I fall asleep. Can't do it. Can't do it there. Have to read somewhere else. The more comfortable you are, the more regular and easy it will be to read. You need to schedule it in. You need to find a day a time in the day when you can concentrate, where you have enough time to focus on this. This is the thing, and I love the Daily Bread program. We get little books that give you a little piece of scripture to read and then a cute little story. And I love having those every day. That's what I used when I was a kid to go through devotions, that kind of stuff. We have lots of those on the back in the counter, just in front of the washrooms here. Pick one up. It's a great place to start. But what I don't like about it is that it became an exercise for me where I just read it, done. Done for the day, no problem. And it was just a check mark that didn't matter. No different than brushing my teeth. I just added it to the list of chores. Wake up, wash my face, brush my teeth, get ready, wash up, and go. Oh yes, read my daily bread. That's not the point of reading the Bible. The point is to immerse ourselves in a focused time where we can spend with God. Separate it, though, from study time. Devotional reading, quiet time with God, is not about breaking down the passage. It is about being with God. The only two questions that you should be concerned about in your devotional reading is, what does this say about God? Or what does this say about humanity? and how God fits into that. This is devotional reading. Talking about culture and context and history and that kind of stuff, you're doing a Bible study. That's a different thing. It's a different discipline, a different practice. Can this be at the same time? Yes. But not always. Reading scripture for scripture's sake, just to commune with God. Think of it as a love letter. I've used this example before many, many times. It's God's love letter to you and to me. There's no way that you would, if you've ever been written a love letter, you don't just read the first paragraph and close it. And then you wait till the next day, and then you read the next one. It's like, no. You read the whole thing, and you read it over and over and over and over again. This is God's love letter to you. So read it. Read it over and over and over again. Number two, here is a practical strategy that you can use. Read with somebody. Read with somebody. Read with somebody. Now, there's two ways to do this. One way is to literally sit down and read with somebody. I love this practice. My wife's family grew up doing this. My father-in-law would sit there with the kids at breakfast time. They had a lifestyle which allowed it, which was great. If you do, do it. I love it. And my father-in-law would sit there and he would read a piece of scripture every day to the kids. Now, they lived on a farm. They had flex hours. Kids were homeschooled. Didn't have the tight time schedule that us city folk do. I wish we would make time for that, though. I really do. Whether at supper or lunch hour. I guess we wouldn't be home at lunch hour, but you gotta find some time to read scripture with your kids, with your family. You do. My family, in the other world of never having the same schedule, would do something else. My mother would bribe us. And we would run every month a readathon between my sister and I. We would have a competition to see who could read the most in the Bible. And yes, there was a bribe that Mom offered to us, but it was usually something ridiculous like, oh, you can go buy a bag of chips at 7-Eleven. At the time, it was 52 cents. Miss those days. But yes, we would do this and we would challenge each other. My sister and I would then check on each other. Hey, how much have you read? Well, I've read this much. And then eventually we got to the place where in Bible college we would have to read the scriptures as well as part of our assignments. And we would check in on each other. Hey, how far have you gotten? And we'd try to race each other to the end. Not too quickly because we had to have the retention, but we'd race each other. And we'd try to do that. This is fantastic. And yes, most of the time, a lot of the time, I'll be honest, as a kid, I did this mostly for the bribe. Mostly, more than that, though, with the bragging rights that I could read faster than my sister or more than my sister. But now, if it's just for the prize or for the ability to say that I read more than you, if this is the sole motivation, then we need to go back and revisit why we're reading scripture altogether. That's not the reason, right? The reason that we read together is to keep each other accountable so that we have somebody to encourage us to do it. As an incentive, we could challenge each other for the sake of becoming better. It's the same reason why working out alone is much more difficult than working out with a partner or a trainer. Because you need the encouragement that you can have from each other. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9 says this. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. And here are the reasons, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your ancestors promised you. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children, moms and dads. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. You would look absolutely ridiculous walking down the street talking to yourself about Scripture. What do you think about this, Joe? No, people look at you and be like, oh, it's just one of those crazy guys. You need somebody to walk with you. Then it's not so weird, right? Walk together when you sit together. Verse 8, and this is my favorite. This is my favorite. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Growing up, I can remember one missionary who came back from, international worker who came back from the Middle East. And one of the artifacts that he brought to show us was this incredibly beautiful bracelet. And I've always wanted one. And I just missed the Israel trip. I should have said this earlier. But on it, on this bracelet, was a rolled piece of silver. And on this piece of silver was inscribed Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. And it was inscribed in the silver and then rolled upon a leather strap and then tied upon the wrist. Literally tying the word of God on your wrist. We need to adopt these practices again. I'm not telling you to go out and buy a WWJD bracelet. But we have to figuratively, again, start tying the word of God to our wrists, impressing them in our hearts, tying them to our mind. It's an important part, and that's something that we can do with each other, for each other, to remind each other, keep each other accountable. That's why you tie it to your wrist. Now, if you can't tie something to your wrist, if you can't do it figuratively, then get the dude next to you to do it. He can be the one who says, hey, have you read the scriptures today? Have you read the Bible? Have you spent the time in the Word of God? Yeah? No? Great. Keep each other accountable. Moving on, practical tip. When you're reading, read in large chunks. There's a practical tip number 3. Okay, so going back, number 1, time and place, regular. Okay, number 2, have someone to do it with. Number 3, read large chunks. Reading large chunks makes it easier to read. You don't focus on how to break apart a piece of scripture, but you focus on the story and the overall plot, which then helps you answer the question, what is this saying about God? Or what is this saying about people? Read in large chunks. This strategy gives you the bigger picture and the bigger context as to what's happening. If you can't read large chunks because you just don't have the attention to do it, I recognize that reading scripture may not be the most exciting thing for a lot of people. But have you ever considered getting a new translation? It's very, very difficult. I will be the first to admit to you, it's very difficult to read in a translation such as the NRSV. It's very scholarly. Big words. I don't get most of them. I read it with a dictionary. Even the NIV is a little bit tricky at times. But there are other translations that you can use to help you get through. You can use the English Standard Version. You can use the Contemporary English Version. These are easy readers. If you're going to impress on your kids the validity and the importance of reading Scripture, there's one called the New International Reader's Version, which is designed and translated in such a way that the vocabulary is pointed at a seventh grade student, which is fantastic also for ESL. Try a new translation. Read large chunks. Second, if you can't read because of this or that, transcribe. And this is probably, I think, the most valuable way to start a new hobby or a new reading skill or discipline. Transcribing scripture, copying it out by hand. The reasons why we do this is it slows you down. It adds an extra layer for your brain to process the words that you're taking in. You're not just sitting and and reading and skimming. It's too easy to do that when we're reading. But when we're transcribing, it adds that extra active layer of engagement for us. But don't type it. Don't type it. Because a lot of us now type at a place where we don't even think about typing. It's just typing. We don't think letters. I had an intern once that did. He would literally sit there and type ASD, AFG, space. It drove me nuts. Don't do it. The reason for this is because you don't get the retention. I have read several articles, several case studies, one from Harvard, one from Princeton, and a whole bunch of other ones, that tell you now, tell us now, that handwritten notes, increase your retention of information and comprehension of the materials. Princeton and Harvard are saying handwritten notes. Students still in university, handwritten notes. You want better grades? Handwritten notes. You want to be better at scripture? Handwritten notes. Transcribe it, write it down, copy it out. And this is where a prayer journal also comes in. On top of being able to transcribe scripture into it, you can write your prayers into it. Ever have problems praying? Lose track of what you're focused on? I certainly do. I think if I was born a little bit later in life, I would probably have been diagnosed ADHD. Probably. Can you tell? But it helps me to focus if I'm writing out my prayers and I'm writing out scripture, because it helps me actively engage. And the great thing about having the journal then is that you can do two other things. One is you can look back. You can look back and see where you've gone in your journey, how God has answered your prayers, and how God has given and fed you through his word. Second is the active summary. Now, some of us have a really hard time memorizing scripture, and I'm going to talk about memorizing scripture in a little bit. But having an active way to summarize what you just read. What is the point of the passage I just read? What is the summary? What did it say about God? What did it say about his people? What does it say that I need to do? Better retention, better comprehension. Transcribe it. Next, meditate. Meditate day and night. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The great thing about meditation is that it can happen anytime, anywhere, day and night. Now, I'm going to be very clear here. Meditation on scripture is not the same as Eastern meditation. Not the same. Eastern meditation is sitting in a room, dark, silent, quiet, chanting something, making noises, whatever, waiting for the universe to reveal something to you. That is passive. And it is not right. It's not right because a passive mind is a weak mind. An active mind is a strong one. For us, meditating on scripture is fundamentally different because it is active. It is something that we engage in. How we can do this, for example, is that we pick a verse out of the passage that we read for the day, and we write it down, and we carry it with us. Whenever we have a spare moment, read it. What does it say about God? What does it say about people? Look at your surroundings. What does it say about these people around us? The situation I'm in now. And it may be hard to decipher at first, but the better you do it, the more you remember it, the better it will become and easier it'll become to make applications and to memorize as well. Now, speaking of meditation, the other part of meditation is memorization. Memorization of scripture is probably one of the most important things a Christian can do. Now, some people, I admit, will have better retention for this kind of things than others. I, myself, have very, very, very hard time memorizing things because my short-term memory is very fluid. I have a difficulty doing that. I have to immerse myself and I have to do it over and over and over again. Repetition is key for memorization. But not only that, I found that a strategy that helps me memorize scripture is to transcribe it, but not to transcribe it only, to write lines. Like back in elementary school, you know, you hit Johnny and then the teacher says, nope, you got lines and you got to go to the chalkboard. And, I will not hit Johnny. I will not hit Johnny. I will not hit Johnny. I will hit, not hit Johnny. And over and over and over again, you write this out. And eventually it sticks in your head. And to this day, I can remember. I remember specifically, I will not hit Johnny. I remember the exact instant that I hit him, why I hit him, and the way that his face looked when my fist connected. I remembered. But it's the same with scripture. If you can transcribe over and over and over again, you will remember the scriptures. I had to commit to transcribing in order to memorize. And the reason for this is that there will come a time when you need the insight and wisdom of the Lord, and you will not have your Bible on you. Pastor Joe, I always have my phone on me. Whose phone battery has died? Yeah, mine has. Didn't have my paper Bible. Phone was dead. Somebody came and asked me, hey, you're a pastor, right? Yeah, yeah. So what about this when it says this? Oops. Read and memorize. One of the most inspiring reasons for memorizing is a story that I heard from the old country. And in this community of believers, a person wasn't even considered qualified to be a preacher unless he had memorized the New Testament in its entirety. And I thought, there's no way that this is going to happen. There's no way that this is possible. And then I went to Bible school and I met these kids called quizzers, Bible quizzers. And it's this incredible competition where somebody will say, here is a situation or a person or whatever. And these kids would sort through the entire book that was the subject of the day, and they'd have to quote the verse that this person who's asking the question is referring to. And just for fun, two of my friends, who actually turned out to be international quizzing champions on the same team, just for fun, recited the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Word for word. I could not believe it. How did you do this? And they said, oh, just repetition. I was like, wow, I wish I could do that. And I set myself to task, and I tried, and I realized I have way less attention than they do. But certain pieces of scripture I do have memorized, because I set myself the task and I could do it. Now you're probably asking, all right, those are some great theoreticals, but practically what can we do? Let me give you some tools, and I'm going to end here, and then we're going to jump really quickly to communion. I'm sorry we're keeping you long today. There's a lot of things happening. But if you throw up the webpage, this is one of my favorite Bible apps or webpages. It's available for all platforms on your phones, your computer, whatever. This is called Bible.com, also known as the YouVersion Bible. If you click here on plans, all right, you can search for plans. And there are two particular plans that I want you to consider. One is called Reading the Bible in a Year, and the second is my favorite, type this one up, Chronological Bible Reading, The Bible Project. It's okay, cut them some slack. I surprised them with this one. Click on plans on the left. Click on plans. It's easier to find on your phones and devices. Scroll down. So the top one's really good, but scroll down. The one-year Bible is really good. This is a really good one. And there's also another one. I don't know if it'll show here, but it's called the Bible Project. And this one also has summary videos and cartoons that summarize the books individually. Now, the great thing about these plans is that in a matter of a year, it'll get you through the major content of the Bible from start to finish, talking about how God's plan fits together and how it can apply to us today. If you don't want to go through a digital way, let me tell you this. 4 chapters a day will get you through the Bible in 1 year. 4 chapters, that's it. That's all you need to read. For some of us, that'll be 45 minutes. For others, it'll be 5 to 10 minutes. 4 chapters a day. When you hear these facts, that you can read 4 chapters a day and be through the Bible in a year. When you hear the fact that you can read the entirety of the book of Romans and in through an audio Bible that you can purchase through iTunes or whatever, the book of Romans takes you 43 minutes to listen to. Are you telling me you don't have this kind of time in a day to spend with God? Because I know for a fact that many of us spend more time waiting in line during the day than we do actively engaging in the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, reading scripture is probably the most important thing that we do as Christians. It is the direct way for us to interact with who God is, to hear from his heart, and to understand what he wants for us and from us. I hope these practical tips will help you and encourage you to read more. At this time, we're going to approach the table now. We're going to engage in Holy Communion. I'll invite the ushers to come forward, those who are serving. And I'll ask that you prepare yourselves as we remember the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's fine. I'll bring it to you. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you that you've died on the cross. I thank you even more so that you revealed yourself to us, first as the Word of God, then in person, and again as the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us. As we approach the table now, we lay before you our sins. We trust that you have forgiven us. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Pray this in your name. I'll just ask that you hold on to them, and when everyone's been served, we'll partake of it together. Let's stand together. This bread, this host represents the body of Christ, broken for you, broken that your lives would be made whole, broken so that your body wouldn't need to be broken to fill your needs. Let's partake of it together. Stand together. This cup represents the blood of Jesus shed as the payment of the penalty of sin that we deserve, shed so that our blood wouldn't have to be shed, shed to purify, to make us whole, to make us pure. Let's partake of it together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you took our place on the cross, offered us forgiveness and freedom from sin and the penalty of sin. We look to you, we turn to you. Nourish us each day with your love and your grace. Amen. Please be seated.
Word for your day today from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love these words, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements for you before we leave today. Today we have the baby bottles from Pregnancy Concern that we ask you to pick up and then bring back on Father's Day. If you have spare change or any money that you'd like to roll and put in it, you are welcome to do so. This is, of course, we talk about the need to keep care of children, we speak about the fact that we have to protect the unborn, but we have to also look after them in some cases after they're born too. And this is one of the ways that we can do that. Also, just to add to that, there will be baby dedication on May 27th. So if you have a child that you want dedicated, you'd best talk to Pastor May about that so that she can arrange it and get it as part of it. Last thing, there are flowers, I believe, at the entrance for mothers and for ladies in our congregation. So make sure you pick one up as a memory of today. Bless you for being here. Thank you. If you take just a 30 seconds for silent prayer and then be dismissed. Thank you.